I hope that people stay to the end, because I feel like we actually did give a lot of really good tangible advice. And people, I just sincerely hope, please stop giving these people your money for the hidden job market.
Profits have hit a record high, and you've all worked overtime to make it happen. So it's time to be rewarded with a corporate pizza party. The podcast taking you inside the highs and lows of corporate America, hosted by Dan Space, Farah Sharghi, and Mike Petito. We couldn't afford bonuses this year, but sit back and enjoy the next best thing.
I'm just gonna let this roll. I want this episode just to start with Dan cackling already.
It was just your stoic face with it too. You're like,
I'm just, no one can see the video anymore because we are no longer a video podcast.
But we can if we tell Tiana.
That's true. Tiana, if you're listening, which I know you're not because I reference things to this all the time that you don't know what I'm talking about. But thank you, Tiana, who handles our social media, and you don't have to listen to our podcast. It's okay. Welcome everybody to another Corporate Pizza Party. This is week two of Corporate Pizza Party After Dark. So welcome to the Corporate Pizza Party.
Sununu.
You might be thinking, oh, they recorded two episodes one night at a time that they were really goofy. No, this is a different night, a week later that we were recording, still just as fucking goofy, because apparently once the sun goes down, we cannot sit here and record a podcast. So if you thought last week was tough, you are in for it this week as well. Let's kick things off on this special After Dark episode. Farah, hello. Tell us about yourself.
Hello, everyone. I'm Farah Sharghi. I am a former technical recruiting leader turned career-ish coach and apparently speaker, which I'll tell you a little bit more about that. I did have a donut this week, chocolate with sprinkles. So that was really good. So that's my carb report for the week. And yeah, last week was really cool. I did an internal speaking gig with BNP Paribas. And I'm just going to say something because I'm a little salty. And like this like moment has happened in my life where I'm like, yes, karma. So I was invited by LinkedIn to go to their corporate offices next week and speak at one of their very first premium live event. So I will be in the studio with, and I'm the only external guest that they've invited, which is super exciting. And the reason why I'm also very excited about this is because I had a manager, a VP, who chastised me for my TikToks because I had made a TikTok where I was critical of LinkedIn. And he said, based on, like, he was basically like, we had multiple meetings about this because he did not approve of this. And I was like, I thought we were an organization where, you know, we can speak our minds and our truth. No. Instead, he did the whole, like, I'm going to email you and you need to respond back, reply all and say that you understand while having HR CC'd on the email. And I was like, yeah, this is probably the beginning of the end for me, because he was clearly very jealous of my social media following and was trying to basically put me in my place. And so it's just very funny to me that I make a video like this and LinkedIn is like, we want you to speak to like all of our members. So to that person or the other people who work with that guy, screw you. Thank you for
screw you.
Screw you. Anyway, thank you for listening to my TED Talk. I appreciate it.
LinkedIn, just so you know, I have made dozens of TikToks complaining about you and making fun of you. So I'm more than happy as well to be invited to do a premium event for you based on this. I've also had managers who told me to stop shit talking so many things. So LinkedIn, anytime you're ready. Before recording, Dan said, Farah, I love how anytime we ask you a simple question, we get taken on such an adventure. Today's simple question was, tell us about yourself. And we got quite one there. So happy to get that going. Dan, good evening. Tell us about yourself.
Oh my God. I how did we get from donut to you being a public speaker and just sort of dropping that in the middle? So congratulations, because that's huge. Talented. Very, very nice.
Thank you. And I'm also just very talented at diverting to other topics and stories. What can I say? It's the Persian in me.
No, none of us are good at that.
No, I I have the opposite for carb update. So I hit a number that was like my, it was two numbers past the big warning number of like, hey, you can't cross that again. And I crossed that happily. And so I found a nutritionist and I'm starting a program. And I love that she was able to take me on because she's very, very overwhelmed. She has tons and tons of clients. And like part of her whole thing is like, is to ask, what about me and you do you think would work well in our chemistry? Because she makes social content. And she said, like, you know, use this questionnaire to describe these habits. So she asked, like, what is your typical diet? And I'm like, unsupervised child at a birthday party. I was like, that is the best way I can put this. And so she emailed me like an hour after I put that. She was like, that is the reason. She was like, I have never laughed so hard in my life. We are working together. So I'm now starting on like a nutrition thing because I don't know if you guys have noticed, like I've gotten so fat. Like I now do videos just from my neck because I'm like, when did my shoulders get fat? You know, because once you cross a certain level, like you just become bulbous everywhere. So I'm not doing any carbs ever again. Well, at least for a month.
Sounds good. I'm glad that you are working on it for yourself. I have the feeling the person you're working with is not going to give you rules like no carbs ever again. I hope that it's a little bit less strict than that, but best of luck.
All right, Mike, your turn. Tell us about yourself.
Everyone's going to appreciate that clap in the microphone, I'll tell you that. But
hold on, let's do that again so we don't have the clap, so we don't like kill the... Mike, no, why don't you tell us about yourself?
We're rolling with it. It's corporate pizza party after dark. It's fine. Hey. Anyway, let's see. I'm going to take both of your stories here. I am on the verge of all of these things. I had a wonderful eating weekend. I went to Philadelphia this weekend for WrestleMania. I loaded up on cheesesteaks and roast pork sandwiches and stadium foods and soft pretzels. I was not unfull for the entire weekend. Like anytime like I could feel the meter in my stomach go down the slightest bit, I just lodged something right back in there. I have felt terrible for 3 days since. I texted my wife from the airport, quote, on Monday morning, texting her and saying, I feel like absolute shit. I have to get my shit together. So I'm with you, Dan. I think I'm going to get my shit together soon.
Maybe we should make it the cauliflower crust pizza party. Like maybe like no. Have some kind of healthy version of pizza for all of us. Because I should get off the donuts too, let's be honest.
No, you're doing fine.
You're fine, interstellar being. You absorb anyway, calories like through the air.
We're deep into this recording. And we
very deep.
No more. Deep. We are long and deep into this after dark recording. And this podcast, like myself, needs to get our shit together.
I want to say so many inappropriate things right now, and I just can't because I just want to try to keep it somewhat clean and not like rated R.
We have seen what happens when you get rated R on these podcasts. Yes.
You can do one because we both know it'll turn into 14.
Okay, good to know.
She's going to save it. She's banking that for later in the episode. Okay, so if you're looking for the plot of this episode, it's hidden among all of this. Just like 80% of jobs are hidden on the hidden job market. Bam. Now that is professional hosting right there, the way I transitioned that, right? Good.
That was amazing.
That was so
thank
good.
You. Thank you. We really want to get into the hidden job market. We're seeing it pop up again. You have heard things about it, I'm sure. I made a video yesterday calling it one of the myths that I sort of always make sure we kind of talk about. We've seen several hidden job market posts again rearing their head. They always do exist. Before we really dive into it, Dan, just for listeners, what is the hidden job market? Whether it's true or not, like what is the hidden job market?
To me, it is the biggest description of groupthink mob mentality with a refusal to do your own research, because it has got to be the biggest myth in corporate America that everyone buys without thinking about it. And
what is the myth is what I'm asking.
I know, Mike, people, I'm getting there.
Oh, I'm sorry, like the dramatic setup. I'm so sorry.
I mean, look at my three chins. It's terrible. I'm trying to do this like this. The idea of the hidden job market is that companies willingly do not post roles with the thought of giving either network people within network referrals the roles, hiding those for people for the network, or even better, that they hold on to roles with the idea of opening them once they meet the right person and they meet that person through the candidate. And the usual number that's thrown around is anywhere between 70 to 80%.
Yeah. So let's just be blunt to start off. This statistic is fucking made up, right?
Yeah. 1,000,000%.
Why does everyone hear it? Like, why? Why?
So Kristen Fife is a recruiter on LinkedIn who I adore. She's great. She's like us. We should actually just connect with her. I don't think she's on TikTok, but she made an article talking about where this stupid statistic came from and sort of tracked the history of it. And there was rumblings about it, but there's a gentleman named Lou Adler who made it famous, and everyone quotes him. And if you read his original article on it, or how it's referred to him, he has never done hiring. He owns like a staffing and coaching agency in Florida. And he says that he works with teams as it relates to better hiring. But, and I remember last year I tagged him because I'm like, I'm so sick and tired of this, because like I saw someone selling I think it was actually on LinkedIn, how to access the hidden job market LinkedIn course. So people are buying, people are looking to purchase this now. And LinkedIn is actively selling something that is a myth. And so when I made a post and I tagged him, and like we had like 50 HR people and recruiters trying to talk to him saying, you're not understanding. You have never opened up positions in a company. It makes no sense to do this. But just because people say it, and the big thing for me is that I'll always admit that I'm wrong, but it has to come from a credible source. And the thing to me that's just a slam dunk on the hidden job market is that there's never been an HR person, a recruiter, or a finance person that said, yes, you are right. Part of our hiring strategy is to not actively interview or post 80% of the roles that we've identified for future success. And instead, you will always get people that are either selling courses, or you get people that sort of tell their anecdote, which is definitely true as it relates to their perspective and their unique experience, but is not systemic.
I remember your fight with Lou Adler.
That was great.
Mostly for the reason that at that time I was selling my mug.
The mug, yes.
I made a mug that said apply to the job on it. And the idea was like, stop listening to all this bullshit and just apply to the job. And I replied to Lou Adler's comment to you with a picture of me just drinking out of the mug when he said applying to the job is useless because 80% of people are hired without applying to a job. And he said, Mike, that's a great mug. Where's the link? I'll buy two.
Right.
And I sent him the link and he never made a purchase. Lou Adler, you stiffed me on two mug purchases.
What an $18.
The hidden mug purchase market, Lou Adler, is what you need to be writing about.
Oh my
God. I hope you hear this, Lou Adler, because those mugs are still available. I just have to put them back in my store.
There are two of them that we've left just for you, Lou.
I've set two aside for you.
So I think the element to the hidden job market that we can take away as beneficial is the value of your network, because that's whether or not the story is told as 80% of jobs as a way to sort of sell a course, or it's done really with an altruistic mindset of, hey, if you're just mindlessly applying to 1,000 jobs, you might want to try to institute some of this to help your job search, which is the idea of tapping into your network and networking. But the thing is, most people don't understand what networking means in this context, which means you have already built a relationship with someone who is thinking about you and will essentially recommend you because they already know that you have this. And a lot of these LinkedIn courses and whatnot indicate that networking is adding people on LinkedIn that have your first name, or like asking people for referrals, which is not actual networking. So I think it's important to take away the message about the value of a network and the value of tapping into your network and not just doing applications as your sole job search strategy. But the hidden job market is not a job strategy on its own.
Farah, have you ever gotten a job on the hidden job market?
I got a hidden job off the hidden job market. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's just like the silliest thing I can think of. I mean, whatever happened to rational thought? Like, how did that just get flown out the window? Like, I'm sorry, but you're telling me that if 80% of jobs that exist are not posted, then there's some sort of 80% failure rate if they do post that job. So companies aren't posting jobs because that doesn't work. Like, it just the logic isn't there. And I will say, again, taking a lovely step back, I think it's a fallacy of our education system in the United States, because whether you are in high school, university, college, they don't teach you how to get a job. They educate you to be a worker. But what ends up happening is you as a worker, because you're not educated on how to effectively write business documents that show like your business value to a business, aka the resume, you then as a worker can be exploited. And this hidden job market nonsense is a form of exploitation. It is an exploitation of there being a lack of truth out there in you know, the ethos. And a lot of this stuff that you find online is just kind of articles that are perpetuated by people who have no HR or talent acquisition experience, no finance experience. Like, they don't know. They've never done headcount. They don't know how rec IDs are assigned. Like, they don't get it. And so all that to say, and I know I did my classic, like, let's just like take everybody on a journey. Sorry, not sorry. Now I'm like looking at you, Dan. I'm like, did I do that? I did that.
We got to five. It was great.
Yeah. Sorry, not sorry. But truthfully, everyone, like, you know, we create content to help job seekers. And like, this to me is like our, like, I feel like we do such a good job out there in the world that we are putting out information that is correct. It is valid. It is validated by our own lived experiences by getting paid by other companies to do this level of work.
In my entire history of HR that I can remember past being a benefits person, I opened up two roles that were not part of the approved headcount plan because we found someone. In both cases, they were in the same company. They were at WebMD and they were both salespeople. And they were like a referral of a salesperson that happened to have really good relationships with these leading pharmaceutical companies. Because for those of you who don't know, WebMD is a legal drug advertising site. That's basically what it does. It's there to sell pharmaceutical prescriptions. And it scares you into thinking that you have cancer so that you get those ads. So in both of those cases, we had a really strong business case that indicated, hey, even though this was not part of our approved headcount, this is going to be an add to staff that is going to bring in a lot of financial revenue. So it's worth it because they come with a book of business, which is essentially why you hire salespeople. So out of like 18 years of doing this, there have been two exceptions that were essentially network hires. And I would think every year at WebMD, I manage anywhere between 200 to 300 open positions. So 2 out of 200 is to me like probably much closer to the amount of roles that potentially go unpublished or through network hires. Mm-hmm. But my question to both of you is, have you ever had that from a recruiter side? Have you ever like had a hidden job or unpublished a job or got like a network hire?
No, never.
I have. But I think there's like a couple important things when we talk about this. And this is what when people like make content or try and sell courses or whatever for the hidden job market, they don't really talk about. It's most likely to happen on like an executive and up level. Because it is rare that you're going to see like a CTO role posted. And companies will usually go to an executive search firm for help or tap into, if they're in the startup world, tap into like some of their venture capitalist backers for referrals and things like that. But that's also not 80% of jobs. You know, so yes, I have had roles that were either like confidential hires or things like that, and those tend not to be posted. But again, you're talking about small minority. I've gotten roles in my career where I sort of helped create a position and was hired that way. So it certainly does happen. But the idea of the hidden job market is that you can't find these jobs unless you're doing it. And most jobs that are gotten through networking are still publicly posted jobs, available jobs. Did networking help the person get it? Yes, absolutely. We talk about how important networking is all the time. But that is very different than the idea of the job never being posted. I'm even for fun. I just like when we decided we're going to talk about this, I started reading all the stupid bullshit I can find online about the hidden job market and how to access it because it's been around forever. I'm reading an article right now from March of this year of take advantage of the hidden job market in 5 steps. And here's the thing with these 5 steps. One of them says optimize your profile, which is just general advice, hidden job market or not. 2 says expand your network. No shit. That has nothing to do with the hidden job market or not. Then it says in the LinkedIn search bar, type hiring, click posts, click date posted, select last 24 hours, click all filters and choose first connections, people you know. Great search advice. Lots of people give the search advice. That means that job is being publicly fucking posted because somebody is writing on LinkedIn about hiring for that job, which automatically makes it not hidden. So how that can be a part of finding a hidden job, I do not know. Also on here is the idea of keeping in touch, sending happy birthday messages to recruiters once a year. Please don't do that to me. And finally, 5, get referred. If you see a job posting and know but somebody who works there, ask your network, which again is not a hidden job because the fact that this is all fucking made up bullshit.
So let me ask you a question to be devil's advocate. And I thought this was a good question that someone asked me about. So I'll ask both of you. Let's say there's no such thing as the hidden job market. What is the penalty or what is the bad of someone believing that there is? What is the negative stigma that that person would have?
2 things pop in my mind. 1 is I think it demotivates job searchers. I think it convinces them I cannot get a job if I don't have a great network and don't have these people to help me. And then what it does with them is it filters them into these expensive courses. There is somebody, I'm not going to name drop them because they seem very like quick to be litigious, but there is somebody who on LinkedIn sells a $10,000 networking course and they're very active. And anytime there is talk about like job searching or resume advice or things like that, they tend to pop up in the comments and say things like, oh, well, that's a useless way. You should really be working on expanding your network. Why would you pay for resume reviews when that's not going to get you a job with the hidden job market? And when you argue back on them, they say to you, well, how did you get your job? Did you apply or did you get it through networking? This person knows I specifically have a job through networking right now. So they like to like call me out publicly as if that's like proof that the hidden job market works. This person I do not like, but I'm not going to say their name. I doubt they're listening, but there will be people who can connect that we know exactly who we're talking about. But regardless, that is the negative side to me, that this person is either convincing someone you need to pay $10,000 for my course, which is probably going to teach these five fucking things I just read on this free article right now anyway, that everybody already knows and hears all the time. That's my thoughts.
Yep, so I think the risk of being exploited. What about you, Farah?
Same. And also, my greater concern is that, you know, in life, the most precious asset we all have is time. And so not only are these people paying, like, let's say $10,000 to take a course, even if it's $100, right, you're losing money. Then you have to take the time to learn about the hidden job market, which is basically networking and, you know, oh, I got to talk to this person. So now you've taken this course, you've spent the time learning this. Let's say it takes a week or two. Then you have to spend several weeks or several months networking, going to coffees, meeting people you don't know, going to conferences, doing all these things. And in the end, I promise you, if you're trying to get a job at a company that has any brand recognition, they're going to say the same thing. Apply online.
Right. Read Mike's mug.
Right.
Is there a negative you're thinking of, Dan?
No, I thought it was an interesting thought exercise where someone sent me a note saying, hey, I totally believe you, but their hypothesis was that if this person becomes far more active in their own job search and sort of takes a more active role in their career by networking and by meeting with people, is that bad? And that's where I think I started changing my message. I think the first year or two on the hidden job market, I would rip it apart. And now I've started to say that the hidden job, one, I have personal issue with the term itself because it's the term hidden job market is like an oxymoron because it implies that there's some sort of system you can find it. You know, it's not like the black market. It's not like the dark web. There's no place you can go where this thing exists that you can go find it. It's just how do you increase your probability of exactly what happened to you, Mike, of potentially getting a role because you work with someone so intimately that they're like, hey, I'm opening this role potentially. I already know how you work. Would you be interested in doing it? So now I kind of updated my messaging to be far more, one, it makes no rational sense to have that many roles. Like, why would a company shoot itself in the foot? Like, so beyond rationality. Now, for the other side, it's okay if it's part of your job search strategy, but it should match the percentage of how companies fill roles, which I think is still at least above 80% through applicants.
Go ahead, Mike. I was just going to say, I mean, there's, like you said, Dan, there's still value in networking because if that person gets to know you, then you could probably get a referral into that company. And then referral has a lot of weight. It helps move you up the queue and you can actually get your resume reviewed faster than if you had just been a cold applicant, typically, especially in this job market. Like, you don't want to end up at the back of the line. Like, you want to do everything you can to get to the front of the line.
Yeah, it's exactly, and this is the problem, is we're all pro-networking. Lots of jobs are going through networking. Even if you don't find a job right now through networking, networking is good for your career. It's a long-term investment. We've talked about this so many times. And if you're just starting to build a network right now, it can be frustrating because everyone's like, this is the only way to get a job. But you're more likely to get a job on your next search or the search after that by building a network now than you are right now, because that's how networking works. Like, we've talked about how networking isn't just messaging strangers. But that's different than claiming that these jobs don't exist unless your network knows you. And those are two different things. And this is what happens when these career coaches or whoever it is post about the hidden job market. And I think this is even where you're going, Dan. It's like you push back and you say, well, that statistic's not true. And what they'll say is, well, does it matter if it's 80% or a different number? Isn't the idea of networking great? It's like, yes, but you're not saying network. You're saying there are 80% of jobs are hidden and I know how to get to them.
Right.
So listen to me. And that's different. That's misleading. That's bullshitting and preying on people's anxiety about the job search versus saying, hey, here's some good networking tips that can help you throughout your career, which is what you would be doing if you gave a shit about the people you say you're trying to help.
Yeah.
It's like the diet pills of job search, like, and not like, it's like the ephedrine, right? It's like, was it ephedra? Like the one that basically blows holes in your heart. That's basically what it is. It's not Ozempic. At least Ozempic I could understand. But, you know, it's like, if you take too much of this, you'll actually kill yourself. Like, it's just bad for you. And so you could do a lot of damage to your career, especially if you're unemployed. And like you said, Mike, I mean, if people are taking this advice to heart and they think, oh my God, they're like all these jobs I'm missing out on. Where are they? You know, they're getting desperate. And I understand that. I totally get that. But the fact that there are scammers out there that are doing this shit to people just really grinds my gears and just really makes me angry.
And there's so many similarities. And when I started making content, this is where it started to really, really pop out at me. And I came up with what I think are two zingers. One is that there are a lot of people that will sell you hope. And there's very few people that will sell you skill. And you have to be an informed consumer. And you have to be able to understand the difference between someone who's selling you hope and someone who's selling you synthesized knowledge and skill. The other thing was when I was making content, sort of debunking some of the stuff in early 2021, I was consistently reminded of the nature of this business is so similar to weight loss, and it's so similar to relationships. So the you hit the nail right on the head, Farrah, with like ephedrine. Like, it's a, I want to cheat the system. I want the shortcut. And it's obviously we all want the shortcut. And it's the same thing for weight loss. I do not want to get up and run for a mile and eat brown rice and kale. But I know that eating less and moving more leads to weight loss. And it's a slow, steady journey that starts to build on healthy habits. Relationships take a lot of knowing who you are, and it's a lot of self-work, and it's a lot of putting someone else first and putting effort into who you are and communication and all these things that we're not taught. But people want to do the how to score 30 women in 30 days programs. And I'm sure they have it for women as well, but I consistently see it for men, of like how to be an alpha, how to hack her like pheromone systems into thinking that you're more attractive than you are, when attraction comes from being happy with yourself and self-love and just being. And it's the same exact thing with job search. It's a slow and steady race. And the most important thing is to understand how it works from a very neutral perspective.
If you do want to learn how to be an alpha, though, there's a lot of anonymous people with no profile photos in my TikTok comments who do not think I'm an alpha, but they very much are anonymously alphas, and they might be able to give some lessons if you go search them out in the comment section.
Look
for the comments attacking Mike's hair.
Mike, if those people are not willing to show their face, then fuck them. Like, show your face. Okay, troll, Mr. Alpha, show me your face. Show me what you're show me what we're working with here. Come on, I dare you to put your face online.
I hate the alpha beta term, absolutely hate it. But I think we can all be in agreement. There's nothing more beta than claiming you are an alpha anonymously on the internet. There's just nothing that tells me that you are not one quicker than doing that.
User. We're talking to you, user 613-4272.
Yeah, we're back aiming at you, user. One last thing I want to say with this is, like, I have a playlist on TikTok that I started called Networking for People Who Fucking Hate Networking, because I know how much people fucking hate networking. I did too. It took me a long time to really see the advantages and start to do it. And I've been making these videos. I think these people are selling in $10,000 courses of just like, here's all networking is. And I remember at like the end of it, someone like commenting, like, I just watched all these videos and all you're saying this bullshit is just like, meet people who you could be friendly with and build a connection, and then hopefully it pays off someday. Like, what kind of bullshit is that? I'm like, that's what networking is. The issue is there are too many gurus out there telling you it is something different than just getting to fucking know people over time and hoping that at some point something might come out of that for you.
Right.
That's the hidden networking job market.
Well said.
There you go.
Oh, that was fun. That felt nice. I felt like we all have a common enemy here about this while still wanting to help people. This was much, considering how this episode started, we have definitely gotten on track to something really usable that I don't have to like really spend a lot of time putting notes together for the production of our episode. That all said, as we wrap up our second After Dark episode in a row, Farrah, you do still owe us an innuendo at some point. Dan, any hesitations about this episode? How are we going to find this hidden job? Help us land it.
Subscribe to our podcast. Leave us lots of reviews, especially if you are in Barbados, and we will make sure we hook you up with all the hidden jobs.
All right. I don't know if that was a hesitancy, but it was a good close. Farrah, right? any hesitancies about this episode?
I don't know if you can hear my ASMR clicking my fingernails on a plate, but no, I don't. No, I don't have any. I was trying to improv and that didn't quite turn out. So you know what? It's a party. It's all good. No, no hesitancies about this episode. I think it was I hope that people stay to the end because I feel like we actually did give a lot of really good tangible advice. And people, I just sincerely hope, please stop giving these people your money for the hidden job market. Mike, do you have any hesitancies?
Tell us about your hesitancy.
Jeff said, I think all of our microphones are stronger than you think, and that plate will definitely be picked up, as will whoever had the barking dog in the background at some point a few minutes into this episode, maybe not outside, me. Passing by somewhere. I don't know. I heard it, which means our users will hear it, our listeners will hear it, but that's great. Dan was right, however. Follow and listen to us. Well, you are listening to us. Continue leaving reviews, especially on Apple where you can write reviews. We love reading them. We text them to each other. And anytime you say anything that's like the slightest bit of a thing we can improve on, we spiral out talking about all the things we can do to fix it. So keep at it with that feedback. But we love all the 5-star reviews. They're wonderful. We love doing this all for you. And we will talk to you next time. Bye, everybody.
Have a wonderful week.
Goodbye, everybody. Bye.